Is America going the way of the Roman Empire? A growing number of Christians think so, and I'm one of them.
Rod Dreher talking about his presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's why I say that Christians today should take a new look at the way the early Benedictine monks, who emerged out of the ruins of Rome, responded to the collapse of their civilization. We can learn from them how to build stable lives of prayer, Bible study, and worship in strong communities. The Benedict option, as I call it, is not about running away from the world. It's about learning the practices of discipleship that enable us to stand firm for Christ against the world for the sake of the world.
You can meet and hear Rod Dreher making the case for the Benedict option at the Fall Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. Childcare is free. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The front page of yesterday's New York Times, the headline reads, "Judge blocks Trump's ban on transgender troops in military." It's a long story, and it's one that is difficult to tell because, of course, all of these conditions, including conditions like transgenderism, are deeply complex. They involve, well, more than just one factor. The question is, should the military be the experimental ground on which we try and figure this out in real time? Is it the best institution in the United States to carry out these kind of social experiments? Joining us to talk about a federal judge's blocking President Trump's ban on transgender troops in the military, Elaine Donnelly, president of the Center for Military Readiness. Elaine, welcome to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Does the U.S. military already prevent people from serving based on psychological conditions?
Well, we have certain criteria that decide whether you are eligible to serve or not. Even minor physical conditions can cause you to be ineligible. Psychological conditions are also, in some cases, disqualifying factors. Anything that would interfere with readiness, your ability to deploy, your ability to fight in a war, makes you unqualified for the military. So it's a matter of what is the purpose of the military? It's not there to provide equal opportunity or jobs or careers. You don't have a right to join the military. Sometimes, if we have selective service and a draft, there might be a duty to serve in the military at times, but there is no such thing as an equal opportunity to serve in the armed forces. Now, this judge, a District of Columbia district judge, who presumes herself to be the supreme judicial commander of the military, she thinks that she knows better. She thinks that federal judges should make policy for the military, and she's clearly wrong in that regard. The Article 1, Section 8 of the United States Constitution says that Congress makes policy for the military, and the executive carries out the will of Congress. The military is subject to civilian control. The military is not subject to judicial control. So this opinion that's been handed down appears to be highly political. I'm in the process of analyzing this entire document. It's a good 76 pages. It cites pretty much only the sources who are advocates of, including transgenders in the military. And what she's trying to do is overrule what the President of the United States has directed the Department of Defense to do. And that is strictly not her role. She doesn't have that command authority over the military. It was an inappropriate ruling. But it's this sort of thing has happened before because the LGBT activists, when they don't get their way, then they go to court to get a federal judge to make policy for them.
What exactly was President Trump's plan to discontinue administrative directives of the Obama administration on transgender policy in the military? What exactly would it do?
Well, it depends on what the final decision regarding those who are in the military right now. And by the way, it's not thousands and thousands. According to the LGBT activist groups, only 250 have asked for treatments to attempt to turn from one gender to the other, something that's not possible, by the way, only 250. So we're talking about a very small number of people. The LGBT activists, though, claim that thousands of people would be, well, then they would be taken out of the military, and that would be a military readiness burden and all of that. And that's one of the many arguments that really fall apart when you analyze them closely. One thing she's forgetting is, you know, the military health system is designed to be a national security force multiplier. It doesn't stand on its own. Doctors and nurses should not be ordered and required to participate in surgeries and treatments that they know are either, well, contrary to good medical practice, contrary to medical ethics. The Trump directives would return the Pentagon to what the policies were before President Obama changed policy on his way out the door at the end of his administration. So the current president has the power to do that. This is not a legal matter. It's not a law that Congress passed, but it is an administrative matter because it has historically been the policy. If you have psychological conditions that interfere with readiness and ability to serve as part of the military, you're not eligible to serve. It's never been challenged until President Barack Obama came along. So this judge wants to freeze in place everything that Obama did, prevent the current president from undoing that, and that is exceeding her authority as a federal judge.
There were also concerns about the potential health care costs involved here because, well, not only health care costs, but attendance costs of the downtime and, well, quite frankly, recovery leading to a lack of readiness to serve on the part of those who would, on the military's dime, undergo transgendered treatments and surgeries. Talk about those.
Yes. The actual estimates of actual costs are much, much higher than what the activist groups are claiming. Maybe $150,000, if I'm not mistaken, is the average cost for surgery that attempts to change gender. It varies more depending if you are a man or a woman. But the advocates have made the ridiculous claim that, well, it only costs $30,000. I don't know what they're basing this on. Actually, I do know the RAND report that is held out there as the definitive analysis actually was a report written by a gay activist group. This is a contractor that always writes pro-LGBT polemics when they are asked to do so. They were giving to President Obama what President Obama wanted. It was not a study, and yet it's being held out as if this is the ultimate say on what costs would be, how many people would be affected. The RAND report is severely inadequate. It's not really a study at all. It's a polemic. It presents only one side. And yet, because President Obama put it out there to support his policy, this judge is looking only at that one side, pretending there is no other side, and proceeding to order the military to do it her way, not the way the President of the United States has said he will do. So President Trump supported the troops. Many groups of people in the military, including, I might add, young women who don't want to share private spaces with persons of the opposite sex who claim that they are now women, even though they still are men. I mean, this, you have very little privacy in the military as it is. And yet, with all of the issues we have with sexual assaults or harassment, here we have an activist group saying that gender doesn't matter. That gender can be changed. This is scientifically impossible. Many experts have said so, and yet the entire Department of Defense is supposed to go along with these delusions. That just doesn't make sense. But it's amazing how quickly the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, just bought into this. Actually, they didn't buy into it willingly. They were ordered to carry out the president's intent, President Obama's intent, that is. But this judge is saying, well, what Obama ordered is okay, but President Trump cannot do the same thing because he announced his intent in a tweet. That and a few other convoluted arguments do not an impressive case make. But that's what she is saying.
I'd like your response to how she typified what was behind the president's attempt to undo these administrative actions. She said it was, quote, based on, quote, disapproval of transgendered people generally. Does President Trump's policy ever express disapproval of transgender people?
No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, the current administration, Trump administration, has bent over backwards to say that we're not going to change anyone's status until we have the time to look at it seriously, review the previous policy, and then decide what to do with people who are currently serving in the military under the previous Obama policy. Now, that's more than accommodating. And it doesn't mean that every person immediately would be discharged. Let's say there's somebody who's very close to retirement, or there's other mitigating factors. Every person will likely be treated as an individual, but you will not have the induction of new people into the military who seek transgender treatments. That will not happen. And they're not going to have the Department of Defense paying for surgeries that, actually, surgery is only part of it. The hormone treatments that are needed in order to change appearance are very expensive. They are long-term. They must be continued indefinitely. If you cannot be in the military, if you require constant treatment for things like diabetes, heart disease, whatever, the LGBT faction is saying, no, we're more special than everyone else, and we have a constitutional right to be in the armed forces. Well, the argument against that has not even been heard. The opinion that was issued last week was only on procedural grounds. The military didn't even get into the factual arguments, but she just arbitrarily said, there are no factual arguments. A judge doesn't get to do that. That is not a sound response to serious litigation. So I believe she will be overturned on appeal, but what part of the problem is the Trump administration doesn't even have the full cohort of leaders and appointees confirmed to take this issue on and actually defend the president's policy. And you know why that is the case? Because Senator John McCain is holding up all the nominations for high-level officials in the Pentagon that are not already confirmed, and it's a very small number, the ones that have been confirmed. So who's going to argue this case in court? I think the purpose of this litigation was to use a federal district judge to rush things along, to lock things in, to make sure that the Obama policy continues indefinitely. It is a misuse of judicial power. She has issued a report that is in many ways factually incorrect, and that's because she only listened to one side, to arguments for the LGBT activist groups. And there are five plaintiffs who claim to be transgender that they have changed their... I have to tell you, it gets very confusing reading about these plaintiffs because the pronouns get all mixed up. When a male or a female transgender, one of the two gets pregnant and his or her wife, it's really difficult to sort it all out. It really is a delusion to pretend that gender doesn't matter, that chromosomes are going to change just because someone declares that they're a sex that they are not. The entire delusionary aspect of all this, it's quite peculiar. And it happened very quickly, again, at the tail end of the Obama administration. And President Trump just said very affirmatively, well, no, this is not going to happen. And then within a matter of weeks, he issued a formal directive to the Department of Defense, just as we predicted that the president would. The formal directive instructs the Department of Defense to produce his recommendations, and the recommendations are due by February 29, I believe, and then official policy will go in place in March. So this is all a very orderly process, but I think there is a political drive to try to cut off the president at the knees and deny the president the power that he clearly has.
One of the things that Judge Colicottly said in her opinion is, quote, there is absolutely no support for the claim that the ongoing service of transgender people would have any negative effect on the military at all. That's a rather absolute statement.
It is, and it's highly inappropriate. There are many reasons. When you have to have prolonged medical time off. Well, first of all, you have to consult with psychologists and psychiatrists and doctors. You can be allowed as long as a year to have what is called RLE, real life experience. That means you can take time off to try to live as a person of the opposite sex before the treatments begin. This is time off. This is time when a person who's supposed to be serving in the military and being available for deployment is not available for deployment. Is that a harm to everyone else? Yes, it is. I mean, that's just one issue where the pursuit of being a person of the opposite sex really does impact and harm everyone else. One of the plaintiffs, I think it was from the Naval Academy, a guy named Kibbe, this Mr. Kibbe, went to the Naval Academy officials and said, I'm transgender, but I have to take a year off in order to meet this directive that you have to be stable in your gender identity for 18 months. And they accommodated him. So all of these other applicants to go to the Naval Academy, they are denied access. But this person who is not deployable and is going to cost an awful lot of money, if he's allowed to stay in, not even counting the surgeries, just all the treatments, the psychological counseling, everything that leads up to the attempt to change gender, it really makes no economic sense. We are a great power, but we don't have the resources, and we certainly don't have a rationale for devoting all of everything that it would take to accommodate people who are not physically or psychologically prepared to deploy on short notice and to be part of the defense establishment. We don't do that for a lot of different groups and cohorts of really good people. They can serve their country in other ways. You can have sympathy for people who are confused about their gender identity. It must be just an awful way to have to live. And you can feel sympathy for that. But it's a problem that the military is not geared to solve. We cannot do that with our military. It's something that is certainly a problem, and it certainly is not the same as other inductees or officers who are brought into the military. It does cause a burden on everyone else. I just mentioned doctors and nurses in passing. Doctors and nurses who disagree with this policy, well, they don't have any option to disagree under the Obama directives. The ones that came out and are still in existence right now, they're in suspension because of President Trump intervening. If doctors and nurses have an objection, whether it be for religious values or personal ethics or medical ethics, they have no option except to leave. Now, how does that affect our military health system? The military health system is there to help the military defend the country better. It is a force multiplier. It's not there to provide psychological counseling and the kinds of treatments and surgeries that are involved in trying to change gender. I keep saying trying to change gender because there is no way that you can actually change gender. You can change appearance, you can do surgeries that attempt to change gender, but it's not really real. And everyone knows it. And yet, if you don't buy into this, then you're going to end your career pretty quick under the Obama policies. So President Trump is saying we need to go back to the way it was before Obama, and this federal judge thinks that she can order the president. No, you can't. She's wrong. This case will go through the courts. There's some other litigation that's been filed. All of this was expected and predicted. That doesn't necessarily mean that it will prevail. I think they're trying to intimidate the Trump administration, though, right now. I think that's really the purpose of this lawsuit.
Elaine Donnelly is president of the Center for Military Readiness. You can find out more about the Center for Military Readiness under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Elaine, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Oh, you're very welcome. We're working on the analysis, and we'll get the whole thing out there. It's quite a complicated opinion, but not really. It's quite simple. A federal judge cannot make policy for the military, and this should not be allowed to stand.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time teaching a Sunday school lesson about the three men in the fiery furnace with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. We'll go there to, well, what shall we call him? An erratic leader who in one moment is throwing men into a fiery furnace and in the next minute is praising the God that saves them. Is it a conversion? We'll talk about that with Pastor Tom Baker after this.
Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale is both online and in store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues, Etc., November 2nd through the 6th. You'll find major cost savings on books, music, Bibles, educational resources, and more. Concordia Publishing House's Fall Warehouse Sale, cph.org, and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
What is the state of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in 2017? Take an in-depth look at trends, data, and stories from around the LCMS when you read the Lutheran Witness magazine's annual State of the Synod issue this November. Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness to get 6 issues for only $6.99. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/trylutheranwitness.
What help us ever to retain the catechism's doctrine plain?
What makes a church unique? Perhaps we should ask what makes a church faithful. Calvary Lutheran Church of Elgin, Illinois continually learns Christ's doctrine, simply explained in the small catechism. This doctrine teaches us Christ crucified, who even today comes and serves his baptized children in word and sacrament to forgive, strengthen, and teach us for daily life. This, Christ's own work among us, makes and keeps Calvary Lutheran Church faithful. Visit us at clce.org.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The church's music from the 2nd century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The 6th century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, hear us, send us in your word.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.